Father's Day will never be as special as Mother's Day, but that's all right. It seems that Mother's Day sermons are always very emotional, very powerful, a three-point message about this is why you're great and this is why we can't live without you. Father's Day sermons are always comprised of you're dropping the ball and here's three things you can do to make yourself better. So, just kind of the reality of it, but that's all right. God teaches us how to be good fathers, and He teaches us some great, great things that we ought to apply to our hearts and that we ought to apply to our lives. So today, we're going to talk about God, our Father, and how that we can take His example in being the biblical fathers that we all should be in our homes, the husbands that we should be. And I hope that if you're here and you're a dad, or if you're going to be a dad, that you take this and you apply this to your heart. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Paul here writes about the connection and the relationship that God has with us, His children. If you would, please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Paul here writing in the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning in verse 38, he said it this way. He says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here today. Lord, even though that Father's Day is never going to be as recognized in many senses as Mother's Day, Lord, we just thank You for our fathers. Lord, we thank You for the men that You've placed in our lives who have taught us, who have raised us, who have loved us, who have cared for us, who have been an encouragement to us, who have taught us, who have disciplined us, who have been there for us in our greatest moments of victories, and those that have been there for us in the midst of our greatest trials and tribulations and hardships. Lord, I'm most thankful today that that I have a Father who has taught me to love You. And Lord, I'm so grateful to know that I have You as my Heavenly Father. And Lord, as You inspired Paul to write, He tells us here that we have a Father in You who we can never be separated from. There's nothing in heaven, there's nothing in earth, there's no principality, there is no power, there is nothing that can separate Your love from us. And Lord, I am so humbled to know that Your love for me is so great and so vast. Lord Father, I just pray that You help me and that You help all of us here today who are fathers, future fathers, to learn from You. Lord, what You teach us about how to love. Lord, what You teach us about how to be there, how to be an encouragement. Lord Father, I just pray that we take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray today also for those who may not have their fathers here with them any longer, Lord. Maybe You've called them home. Lord, I pray that You comfort their hearts, Lord. I know that they would love to still be able to have words of inspiration, still be able to have those moments with their fathers. Lord, I just pray for them, Lord, that You comfort their heart. Lord, I pray also for those who are here today who maybe they've never known their father. Their father's never been present in their life. Well, Lord, I pray that there's been somebody who's took up that role. And Lord, I pray if there's not somebody in that role right now, that Lord, You prepare somebody to be an influence in their life, to be that Father that You would have them to have. So Lord Father, we just give it all to You this morning. We place it at the foot of Your cross, and it is in Your holy precious name we pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Heather is teaching children's church this morning. She probably would not want me to tell this embarrassing story about her in person, so I'll tell it about her while she's not present. I've had some health troubles as of late. Went to the doctor. The doctor told me you are under an extreme amount of stress. You're out of shape. Your career is getting to you. You work too many jobs. And I'm going to recommend to you that your wife begin to make some changes to better help acclimate you. I would suggest she probably get another job so that you can preferably quit one of yours. I would recommend that she begin prepping and planning all of your meals so you stop eating out when you go to work every night. That stuff's killing you. I would recommend that she pick up more things in the home to take further stresses off of your life. And I said, wow, that's a lot. And I said, you know, probably the best thing that you can do for me, doctor, is call and tell her this directly. She's never going to believe this coming from me. I'll do it for you. Because if you don't do something in the next 30 days, you'll be dead. I understand. So I make the ride home, and Heather greets me and says, you know, I just want you to know two things. I've talked to the doctor. One is I love you very much. The second thing is the doctor told me you're going to die in 30 days. So, the role of mothers. Fathers are so underappreciated, it seems like sometimes, doesn't it? You know, one little boy was asked one time, can you please tell me the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? He said, well, they're practically the same, except for Father's Day, the gifts are cheaper. I don't know. You know, there might be some reality to that. It's all right, though. Dads have a big job, do they not? You know, mothers are given a job to love and to care and to be that affectionate one in the family and in the relationship. And the role of dad seems to be the one who oftentimes has to be the heavy shoulder, the heavy hitter when it comes to things like discipline and raising the children and teaching them and in certain aspects. So dads have an equally important role. It's just sometimes we don't see maybe the importance of it. It maybe becomes overshadowed, or maybe it is simply because when dads do their job right, it's oftentimes not as recognized. Well, I want to tell you something. I've been blessed to have a wonderful father in my life. I've always told the story, you know, when I started preaching, I was young, 15 years old, didn't have a driver's license. And I got calls from churches to preach, and would preach revivals and special services, and my dad would drive me around, you know, to go preach. And I always tell that story, you know, I had that one sermon that I could really knock it out of the park. And when you're preaching at all these different churches, they never know the difference, and you preach the same sermon over again. And after about 7 or 8 times, the only comment my dad said was, it'd probably be nice to write another sermon, wouldn't it? He got to hear that same one over and over again, but he never complained. You know, and my parents have raised children who love the Lord. You know, I love the Lord because of what my parents have done for me. In particular, what my dad has done for me, the influence that they've given. And out of 4 children, my parents are now blessed to say that all of their children have given their hearts and their lives to the Lord and made personal professions of faith. And my youngest brother will be baptized next Sunday in their home church, as he just recently gave his heart to Christ. Fathers have a major job. They have a hard job from time to time. But the greatest example that we can take to be better fathers is certainly the example that God gives us. Amen? And here Paul, writing in the book of Romans, he says, this is how much that God loves us. This is how much that God cares for us. That neither height nor depth nor anything in all of creation, not powers, not principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The first great example that we can truly learn about God our Father and how that we can apply it to our life is this, is that God loves His children. You know, if anything, as a father, we ought to be able to love our children. Amen? It should just seem natural that as a father, we would love our children. We brought them into the world. We would love them and we would care for them. And in some cases, you might be a father, but you didn't bring that child into the world. It might not be your biological father. You may not even be closely related to that child, or not related at all, and you can still be a father influence in their life. You may be the only father that they have. We can still learn from that example as God tells us to love. And the greatest thing that I think that God tells us about His love, and the greatest thing that we learn about God's love is this. It's that He first loved us. He first loved us. And what does that mean? When we say that God first loved us as our Father, it truly means that we didn't have to meet up to any expectation. Amen? I don't have to meet up to any expectation. I don't have to be so good. I don't have to be so righteous. I don't have to be so great. I didn't have to be any of those things in this world for God to love me. God loved me from the very beginning. God loved me before I ever walked the face of this earth. God has loved me since I was thought up in the very creation, in the very thoughts of His mind. That's how great that the love of God really is. And if you're here and you're a father, or you're going to be a father, or you're that father figure in the life of some child or some person that you love dearly, know this, is that you have got to be able to love. You have got to be able to love without that child meeting up to any expectation. You've got to love them in an unadulterated fashion as Christ has taught us to love. John in 1 John chapter 4 verse 19, he said it this way. He says, we love because He first loved us. You want to teach your children to be loving, caring people in the world? If you want them to grow up to be loving, caring people in the world, teach them how to love. As God loved us first, without any level of expectation, without any thought to how that we ought to meet up to some certain standard, He loved us first. And as fathers, we ought to love our children in the same fashion, in the same mindset. Because why? Because God first loved us. I can love to the same expectation to love my children just as God loves me because He first loved me. Even though that I am a sinner, even though that God knew that I would fail Him terribly in so many aspects of my life, God still loved me and loved me so much that He gave His life for me. He first loved me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul says this. He says, but God shows His love for us, and that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, I didn't have to change who that I was. I didn't have to become a better person. I didn't have to change myself from the outside in. God loved me for who I was as His creation. As fathers, we have to be able to love our children as they are. As they are. You know what? And sometimes people are difficult to love. Not all children are easy to love sometimes. As they get older, they'll do things that'll drive you crazy. Amen? Did anybody ever do anything to drive their parents crazy? All right, I'm going to tell a story. Not me, okay? I never did anything crazy like this. But I have a brother and a sister who are twins. I don't know, how old were they? 13 when they... 14. And Dad knows the story. Even before I got started, he knew which story it was going to be. They were 14. I was doing something. I don't even remember if I was home. I was probably supposed to be watching them and wasn't. But they were 14 and old enough to be at home alone. You know, you think at 14 you can be responsible enough to leave children at home. Well, I know that Mom and Dad were doing their thing. Dad at work, Mom doing what she was doing. I was doing something, as I said, probably supposed to be in a guardianship role, slacking, no doubt. Well, in the course of the day, they took the family car and drove to the city park. Now, we live about 20 minutes away from town. So, as you can imagine, a 14-year-old getting a car and driving for the first time to the city park. The amazing thing was, is they made it there and they made it back completely unscathed. What got them caught was is a child at the park whose parent was there, recognized them, and of course knew that something wasn't all kosher. And anyways, it got back to my mother and my father. So it was my brother's idea to drive to the park to play basketball. And I'll never forget, my dad asked my sister, "Why in the world did you go with him?" And she said, "I couldn't let him go by himself." I'll never forget that. Kids will drive you nuts. And I want to tell you something. My younger brother and sister were hard on my parents. They were much more difficult to raise than me. And I'm telling you, kids will do things sometimes that'll just drive you nuts. But you still have to love them. Amen? You have to love them. Why? Because God first loved us. You know, I hope there's no father out there who looks at their child and says, "I'm going to give it about 5 years, and if they start meeting up to my standards, I'm going to love them." Said no father ever who held their newborn child, right? I hope not. Because I want to tell you something. If you base how you love your children upon the standards of which they're meeting up to your expectations, the relationship that you have with your children is going to be so flawed. And you're going to miss so much. And you're going to be sorry for the way that you've loved. Because you failed to meet up to the standard of which God teaches us to love. God, our Father, He loves us. There's nothing in this world that Paul says that will separate God's love from us. Nothing we can do is ever going to make God cease to love and care for us. And loved us so much that while we were still yet sinners, while we were still yet imperfect, that He was willing to die for us. Church, not only does God teach us how to love our children as fathers, but our Heavenly Father also teaches us that we are to encourage our children. You know, fathers can sometimes be notorious for being hard on their kids, right? Amen. Just shake your head yes. There are some fathers out there who are notoriously difficult on their children. Sometimes it's because of the things that the kids do. They bring those actions down on themselves. But sometimes, just as human beings, we tend to be a little bit too difficult on other people and even ourselves. And it's easy sometimes to begin to criticize. Is it not? Anybody here a critic? Amen. About four of you. Thank you for your honesty this morning. If you're a woman, you're a critic. Amen? If by nothing else, a critic of your husband and his abilities and talents. You're a critic. We all are. We become critical. And it's easy to even become critical of our children. We don't want them to do this in their life. They're too smart for that. You know, they need to do this. They need to go to this school. They need to have this career. They need to have this life. They're not meeting up to the level and the standards of which I know that they can. We say those things, and sometimes we unfortunately say them even to our children. But God teaches us not to do such foolish things. God teaches us to encourage our children. You know, I think to Old Testament examples, I thought about how that God encouraged Moses. Probably one of the most unlikely men of the Old Testament to basically lead a revolution of God's people and to free them from the bondages and the chains of Egypt and lead them back toward the promised land. Moses was a stutterer, had an inability to speak plainly, had been, as he thought, a murderer, as having killed a man. If you remember the story of Moses before he fled from Egypt. But God spoke to Moses in a burning bush and He encouraged him to go forward and to free my people. I thought of other Old Testament examples like Joshua. As God encouraged Joshua, once they had finally made it to the promised land, He encouraged Joshua to go forward and take it. Now, if you remember the story of what was taking place around that time, we know that some men had already gone into the promised land, and they basically come back and begin to criticize the fact that there was no way that they could take the promised land. Even though that God had told them that they could, and God told them that they would, they were very critical of it. But God was not critical of the abilities of Joshua, even though he was such a young man. God encouraged him. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Even in the Old Testament, God says, "I am with you wherever you go. Be strong, be courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed." These are the words of encouragement that we ought to give our children as they get ready for college, as they get ready for high school, middle school, elementary school. Be strong and courageous. As they get ready to take on life, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. There's so many things in the world that we can be frightened of. The world is a scary place. Amen? Scary place, and it gets scarier all the time. But the Lord says, be courageous, be strong. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. It's easy in a world that is difficult to want to fall to pieces. Kind of literally the definition of the word dismay, just kind of fall to pieces. The Lord says, don't be frightened. Don't fall to pieces. He says, "For I am your Lord and I am with you wherever you go." As fathers, we ought to give our children those words of encouragement that they can and that they should. The Lord, throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, through the Episcopals, He encourages us. Firstly, we see that He encourages us with words. Here in Joshua 1:9, He encouraged him literally with His words. Be strong, be courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed. He says, "I am the Lord your God and I am with you." He encourages us through His presence. He doesn't just say, "I'm with you." He's with us, amen? He doesn't just say these things like, "Be strong and courageous, don't be frightened, don't be dismayed." He says, "I am with you." And I know that the Word of God is true. And when God says, "I'm with you, don't be dismayed, don't be frightened, be courageous, be strong," I know that my God is being honest. And I know that my God's words are true. He encourages us not only with words, He encourages us not only with presence, but He also provides us with assistance. You know, last week we talked about how the church has this role and this job and this mission, this function, this purpose. We talked about that, and we talked about how that God gives us this plan. We talked about how that God provides us with power, but we also talked about how that God provides us with a promise. And how that God's always going to be there for us. "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." I'm going to give you this plan in order to be successful. And He said, "I'll even give you the power to do it." That's the God that we serve. Church, just like our Heavenly Father encourages us not only in word, but He also encourages us in deed and in action. We should be there and be present, but we should also be there to help in any way that we can. Amen? If you have your father, you're probably still blessed to be able to pick up the phone and call them and ask them for assistance. I love it. Now that I'm older, I ask my dad to help me with projects all the time. We do. We have projects going, and we have things that we can work on, things that we can do, and I get to ask his advice about things, and it's good. That's the way that a relationship between a father and a son should be. Our relationship with God is that way. We have a God who encourages us through word, who's always there in action and deed, but we have a God who is there to help us when we need it the most. Not just in words, but in deed also. God teaches us that we should love our children. He teaches us that we should encourage them. But we know that God also teaches us that we should build up and not destroy. You know, we talked about that critical tongue. We talked about that critical mindset. Sometimes we tend to say things that we know are more destructive than they are positive. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, we know that Paul, writing to the church, he says, use every word, use every deed to uplift. Ephesians chapter 4, 29, he says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Paul was writing certainly to the church at Ephesus about church problems. Sometimes the people in the church couldn't even talk nice to each other. But this also fits into how that we raise our children, how that we teach our children. We ought to use words that uplift rather than tear down. God teaches us to encourage. He teaches us to love. But God also teaches us that we have to discipline our children. God disciplines us, does He not? He does. When we're disobedient, we know that there's going to be discipline to follow. And you know what? God's discipline is a wonderful sign of His love. You probably didn't think that as a child when you were getting your hind end wore out. Anybody ever grow up in a home where they got spankings? Ha! You're not too quick and shy to raise your hand on that one, I see. Yes, that's right. Anybody ever get a good one? Yep. Anybody ever get one so hard that it knocked the sound out of you? Yeah, that's right. If you're honest, you know, you're crying and then you get one right across the backside and it just knocks the sound. It's like they hit the mute button. You're just gone. Can't even speak. Can't even whimper. At the time, we didn't think that was too edifying, as the Bible might would say. What good could such a thing do for us? But you know what? I believe it's helped to raise a lot of people to be good people. I'm sorry. You know, I was disciplined growing up, and I was spanked. A lot of us were spanked. And I feel like it taught me things in life. And I still to this day believe with all my heart that it killed my dad to spank me. I really still believe that with all my heart. And I know that he did that as a tool to teach me. And I know not everybody agrees with that form of discipline. And by and large, it's not used today like it once was. But God does teach us that we should discipline our children. And I'm not saying that spanking is the only form or the go-to form of discipline in the home. But I'm saying this. As fathers, we have a duty and an obligation to discipline our children, to teach them when they're wrong. Amen? To teach them when they're in the wrong. I feel like that's a great part of what's wrong with society today. And I feel like that's why that my job in law enforcement will always be ever present. Because there's always folks in the world who feel like that they have done no wrong. They've never been taught any better. They've never truly been taught the difference in knowing what's right and what's wrong, and that wrong will come with a disciplinary action. God disciplines His children. The Lord, if He loves us, will discipline us. He disciplines us because of His love, not in spite of it. Amen? You hear me? He disciplines us because of His love, not in spite of His love. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5 said it this way, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 12, he says, for the Lord reproves him whom that He loves as a father the Son in whom He delights. And Paul in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. He says, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those whom they have been trained by it. Like I said, when I was a kid, some of those spankings didn't seem too edifying. But as an adult, I see that they were beneficial. As a Christian, sometimes we don't understand that God's discipline truly is for the edification of Him and ourselves also. He disciplines us because He loves us. What does all this mean? God teaches us that we ought to love. God teaches us that we ought to encourage. God teaches us that we ought to discipline. But what is our responsibility? Where does it fall to us as dads, as fathers, as the men of our homes? What does that really mean for us? Probably one of the better Old Testament examples is Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is one of the original Hebrew books of the Bible. We know that Genesis and the first five books of the Bible, Deuteronomy being one of them, is the original text for the Jewish culture. Well, we can still find very many relevant things in the Bible from the Old Testament to apply to our lives today. One of the things in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we find, this is called the Shema. And the Shema is something that was prayed, a prayer that was prayed and recited in the home three times daily, morning, afternoon, and night. And this prayer was said in the home, led by the Father daily. And here's what it says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them, speaking of your children, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Shema. Shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Leading of this prayer three times a day. And the author continues on to say, you shall do this daily. You shall do it as you walk. You shall do it as you talk. You shall do it as you go to. And you shall do it as you go fro. Everywhere talking and teaching this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Church, our responsibility as fathers is that we would teach our children. Teach them in the way that they should go is what one example from Psalm says. And they'll always have something to follow. They'll always have something to come back to. Teach them diligently. I know that we say that Mother's Day sermons are all about, here's three reasons why we can't live without you and why you're so great. And the Father's Day sermon is, you're dropping the ball and here's what you can do to be better. But dads, we can do better. I love you, but we can always do better. One of the ways that we can do better is how we teach. Are we really teaching our children to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul? I'm asking you the honest truth. Have you really taught your children to love God in such a high regard? You know, in society today, we've got a lot of young people that really are learning how to love themselves really good. They're awesome at it. They really know how to love themselves. They know how to love the world. They know how to love the things that are in the world. But do they know how to love God? Have you taught them how that they ought to love God? Not just in your words, but have you taught them how to love God in your actions and in your deeds? Have you taught them how to love God by giving them the assistance and the instruction that they need to help them to understand why God and loving Him is so important? Teaching them that God has loved them from the very beginning of time, and that God loved them so much that He gave His Son, Jesus, to come and to die for us. You see, those are the life lessons that really matter. There's a lot of things in life that don't matter. Amen? There's just a lot of things in life that really don't matter. There's a lot of things in life that are not eternal. There's a lot of things in life that don't last forever. But one thing that lasts forever is the souls of your children. Those go on forever. You maybe can't be here with them for the rest of their lives. You know, as it should be, if it's a part of God's will, you'll pass on and go before them. And I hope that's the way that it happens for you as a parent, as a father. You can't always be there with them, but you can always teach them as the Word of God says to teach them, and they'll have something to rely on for the rest of their lives, even when you can't be there. Amen? You can teach them about God's love. God our Father has taught us this. Now we know what our responsibility is. Now we know how to discipline. Now we know how to encourage. Now we know how to love. But how will you apply it? As our praise team comes, they're going to prepare a time of invitation for us. A time of response to the preaching. A time of response to the Word of God. I want to encourage you, if you're here, maybe God is speaking to your heart as a father, I encourage you to come. Maybe you need to pray about your diligence in how you serve your family, how you serve the Lord, how that you're teaching and raising your children. Maybe you just want God's help. Maybe you just need God's strength. You come and I'd be happy to pray with you. Or you can come to this altar and pray by yourself and God is going to hear your prayers. And God will give you the strength, the wisdom, and the guidance that you need. Maybe you want to bring somebody with you to pray with you. You do that as well. Maybe you're here and you've never known or experienced God's love. Well, the Heavenly Father has loved us so much, He's given His only Son for us. Shed His blood for us that we might go free if we would but accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Confess our sins and believe truly in our heart that He is Christ and that God has raised Him from the dead. How can you teach your children to love if you have never known God's love yourself? You come this morning, however God is leading you. Father, Lord, as we come and we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we move to a time of invitation and response, Lord, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who needs your direction, who needs your guidance, Lord, I just pray that they would come. Lord, Father, I pray that they would be responsive to the teaching. Lord, I pray, Father, that they would come with a harsh desire to be a better father, to be closer in their relationship with you, or that they would come maybe wanting to accept you as Lord and as Savior. Lord, Father, I pray most of all that we take something from this message that can help us to teach this next generation of young people how to be better people, how to be loving people, how to be Christians, and how to love you, how to love each other. Lord, I believe if we all had that desire of the heart, the world would be a better place. Lord, I pray that you use us to make the world a better place. We give it all to you. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Let's all stand together.